very much. Luke chapter 7 this morning, Luke chapter 7. I was telling our Sunday school class I had something else prepared to preach, but the Lord has laid on my heart this message that I've preached before. But I want to be obedient to the Lord because He knows our needs. He knows what we need. He knows what you need, I need, our church needs. And today He's led me to this passage, no doubt in my mind, in my heart, this is what God wants for this hour. If you were to ask me, Brother Jody, what's your favorite chapter in the Bible? I'd be very tempted to say Luke chapter 7. It is a great, great chapter, wonderful chapter, because there's so many things that apply to us that we can get some help on today. Look at Luke chapter 7, look at verse number 16. The Word of God says, "And there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God hath visited His people." Notice that phrase, "God hath visited His people." And I want to preach to you on that subject this morning, tying ourselves down completely to Luke chapter 7 with this thought about God hath visited His people. Let's pray together. We share this thought. Father, we love You this morning. Thank You for the privilege to be here. And I pray if there's one lost that today is the day of salvation. And we who are saved, make us more like Jesus Christ. Help my heart to be right. Help my heart to be clean. May there be nothing hindering You at all. And may You be the preacher today. I need to hear from You. And I pray You'll take my stammering tongue, Lord, and preach with power through me today. Deal thoroughly with us. In Jesus' name, amen. On Monday morning, October 16th, 2006, been a few days ago, as I was having my devotional reading, I came across Luke chapter 7. Now, there are times when you read the Word of God that God seems like He's 1,000 miles away. And don't look at me like you don't know what I'm talking about, okay? But there are other times when He's so near and He's so real. And I must say that that particular Monday morning, God came near to me and showed me something in this chapter that is still affecting my life today. And what I'm getting ready to share with you has arrested me. You know, it's good for when a preacher gets up to preach that the Word of God has gripped his heart first, that the message has grabbed him first and arrested him first. And I want you to know this morning, as I try to say this often, I'm not preaching at you, precious people. I'm preaching to all of us. We all need this. My own heart needs this morning. If I were to ask you, what is the greatest need of our homes? I wonder what you'd say. If I was to ask, what's the greatest need of our churches, including this church? Or the greatest need of our country? Or the greatest need of our world? What would be your answer? Some people may say, well, the greatest need of our churches is that we just have unity. That's incorrect. Unity is a byproduct of our greatest need. If you say our greatest need is revival, our country needs revival, that's our greatest need, I say incorrect. Revival is a byproduct of our greatest need. We do need revival. We do need unity. I'm not preaching against that, but that's not the end product. That's not the goal. I believe in my heart that the greatest need of our homes, our churches, our country, and our world is in this phrase right here, God hath visited His people. We need God to visit His people. And at the end of this meeting this morning, and at the end of life's journey, may it be said truly that God hath visited His people. Now in this text, the way I'm taking this message is that it is evident when God visits. Because in this chapter here, you see four major events taking place. That when everything is said and done, all you can say is that that's only possible because God visited His people. And may I say to you that these four things that we're going to read about here, oh, how we need these same four things in our lives today. And they will only happen if God shows up. Now, we know the Lord lives in our heart if you're saved through the person of the Holy Spirit. That's not what I'm talking about. He's resident. He's inside of you. What I'm talking about is when He manifests His power, when He comes and He does what only He can do. I want to give you four things that happen in this chapter that happens when God visits. And every one of us will be hit with one of these four things. Every one of us. Even if you don't need it today, every person here is represented in one of these four statements. This happened when God visited. This happened when God visited. This happened when God visited. And this happened when God visited. All in this chapter. Number one, what happens when God visits? God had visited His people, and what happens when He does? Number one, needs are met. Needs are met. Look at verse number one. We're going to read a majority of this chapter throughout this sermon. Now, when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. And a certain centurion's servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. When he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he is worthy for whom he should do this. For he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with him, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself. I'm not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto you, but saying a word, and my servants shall be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers, and I say unto one, go, and he goeth, to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. May I paraphrase what this man's saying? He sends his servants to Jesus Christ because he knows something's different about the Lord. He's got a servant that's sick, and he realizes that unless he gets to Jesus Christ and unless the Lord does something, this servant, this need will not be met. This servant's ready to die, the Bible says. And the Bible says that Jesus began to make his journey to that place. But when this centurion realized that he's coming to him, he sends his servants out and says, don't trouble yourself to come under my roof. I'm not worthy for you to come into my house. Business starts picking up when you have an attitude like that. I'm not worthy for you to come into my home. All I ask you to do, Lord, is to speak the word. And the reason I didn't come is because I didn't feel worthy myself to come and approach you. But I recognize something about you, Lord. I'm also a man that has authority. I say to servants, go, and they go, and to some, come, and they come. All I'm asking you to do is say the word. Here's what he's saying. Just like I have authority over some people under me, I realize this sickness is under your authority, Jesus. And all you've got to do, you don't have to come. All you got to do is speak the word, and it'll listen to you. And when Jesus heard this, verse 9, when Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him. Turned him about and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, not in Israel. And they that were sent returning to the house found the servant whole that had been sick. This centurion had a servant who was dear unto him. And this servant no doubt would have done anything that this centurion asked him to do. But this sickness hit this servant to the point to where this centurion couldn't help him at all. He sent Jewish elders to see Jesus, beg him to come. And when the Lord responded, the sickness fled, the need was met, and the centurion's servants was healed. I want to ask you a question this morning. Simple message, simple thoughts. But what is your need? What is your need today? Is your need a financial need? Is it a physical need? Is it a marital need? Is it a family need? Is it a job need? I don't know what your needs are. But I know this, that when God visits His people, He meets those needs. Needs are met. When God visited His people, He met a need. A need was met. He meets needs. Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all of your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. See, a lot of times we quote that when somebody needs money. But I remind you that human beings have many needs. There are spiritual needs, emotional needs, mental needs, physical needs, financial needs, you name it. That verse covers them all. That God can meet your needs. No doubt about it. I've told some stories here often, and since this is an old sermon, you're going to hear some old stories, but it applies here. When my wife and I were expecting, I believe this was our second baby. I can't remember exactly, but I believe it was our second baby that we were expecting. I went on a mission trip with our teenagers to St. Louis, Missouri. That's about a 10, 11-hour trip from here. My wife stayed home. She was expecting a baby, and I went with the teenagers. We have what we call family crusades, so to speak, where I will preach to the adults, and our teens and our adults with that travel with the teens will put on like a vacation Bible school with children or adults, children and teenagers while I'm with the adults. On the Friday night service, I was preaching in the auditorium upstairs. When I was preaching, there was, I'm guessing, maybe 20, 25 people there. When I gave the invitation, God stepped in. We had around seven, if my memory serves me correct, seven adults walk the aisle and trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. It was amazing service, amazing service. God showed up, you see. After the service, my heart was so encouraged, and I called back home here, and I was talking to my wife. And I was sharing with her just how much of a blessing God had showed up that night and drawn people to Himself, and people were saved and lives were changed. And my wife said to me on the phone, she said, I'm paraphrasing, she said, honey, that's so great. She said, I prayed for you today. I prayed God would give you a great, great service. But I want you to know I lost the baby today. Now, she wasn't far along. She wasn't very far along, but it's far enough along to rip a mother's heart out of her chest. When she said that to me, I wanted to crawl through the phone. That's my wife. That's my bride. And I knew that she needed some comfort. And I wanted to get to her so bad I could taste it, but I couldn't. I was 11 hours away. But my wife did not stop when she said that. All in that moment, she said, Jody, she said, I feel like there's 10,000 angels in the room with me. God is helping me and giving me peace. See, God had us separated at that time, I believe, to show us a great lesson. It's good for a wife to lean on her husband, and she should. It's good for a husband to want to be with his wife, and he should. But there come certain times in life when a husband cannot meet that need for his wife. And there's other times when that wife cannot meet that need for a husband, but God can. And all I'm preaching in this first point here is that it doesn't matter what need you have. Your answer is for God to visit you. Because when God visits His people, He meets needs. You show me somebody with any need, the greatest thing they can do, in my opinion, is get on their face and beg God to meet with them, to visit with them. Anything in my life hindering that, get it out, God, because we need you here. We need you here. I remember when Jalen, she's our oldest girl, she's 7 years old, beautiful little thing, good night. I think she thinks she knows it too, you know what I mean? But when she was born, her head was like in the 95th percentile and her body was, I think, in the 15th percentile. Her head was extremely large. Now, I tell people that's just because she took after her father, you know. She's got that major brain power going on. Well, I had my, what are you laughing at, friends? I mean, that's not right. Anyway, I had my wife to begin to ask questions. That's a dangerous thing. because you might get answers, you know what I mean? She began to ask questions to nurses or doctors, whatever, and they said, well, worst case scenario, it could mean brain damage. But when I heard that, tore me all to pieces. Now, thank God she's fine. We're on this side of it now, but I'm taking you back before we realized everything was okay. We didn't know, does she have brain damage? What's going on? Good night, all these kind of things. And I got in my closet, otherwise known as my pickup truck, and I shut the door. And I just happened to be that particular day in Psalm 46. And when I was in Psalm 46, I began to read these verses, thinking about my baby girl. Is she okay? Is she not? Is everything going to be all right? And I began to read these verses, God is a refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. Now God was already working in my heart, but when I came to verse number 5, now I know in context it's talking about the city of God. I understand all of that. But this particular day, God gave me verse 5. Because I was begging God, please, I need something. You're going to have to help me. I can't take this. And I came down to verse number 5 thinking about my baby girl, Jalen, my first girl. And I have a second and I have a third now. They really have me, you know. I came to verse number 5 and read this. And God visited me. God came down. When I read these verses, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. When I read that, her, it was like God said, relax. Everything's okay. Now, I'm not preaching that if God visits you, everything's always going to be okay. I'm not preaching that. But I am preaching this. When you feel like your heart's hanging outside of your chest and there's a great need, whether it's physical, financial, family, emotional, spiritual, mental, whatever it is, the greatest thing you need is for God to visit. Because when He visits His people, He meets needs. Number 2, when He visits His people, He restores families. Boy, I like this part. Look at verse number 11. The Bible says in our text, in Luke chapter 7, verse number 11, it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him and much people. Now, when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out. Now, notice the language in verse 12. The only son of his mother, and she was a widow. Did you catch it? She's already lost her husband. This is her only son. Now he's gone. And much people of the city was with her. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, weep not. And he came and touched the bier of the casket. And they that bare him stood still. And he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. Question, wouldn't you like to have been there? Wouldn't you like to have been a spectator at this? And notice what the Bible says. It says, and he that was dead sat up and began to speak. And he, Jesus, delivered him to his mother. Now you notice in verse number 12 that this is the only son of a widowed mother. Here's a woman who's already lost her husband. And now the only thing remaining from her marriage to her husband are memories and this son. And now death reaches out and takes him. She's lost the affable eye. She's lost the one who cared for her. Because back in this day, when the husband was gone, he was out into eternity. The care for the widowed mother rested upon the son, so to speak. So she's not only lost the apple of her eye and this boy that reminds her of her husband, but now she's lost her caretaker, the one who looked after her. She has no one left, nowhere else to turn. Here's how God spoke to me. Her family had been torn apart. Her family had been ripped to shreds. The funeral procession was in progress. And the mother's up front. Do you see her? She's up front brokenhearted and feeling all alone. My husband's gone, now my boy's gone. She's weeping. She's lost everything she thinks she has. But something interesting happened to that funeral procession. God visited it. Amen. God showed up. And when God showed up, the Lord Jesus Christ touched the casket. And he said, "Young man, arise." And when he did, he that was dead sat up. And he began to speak. Get this. Death had set in, but when God visited, he gave life to that death situation. He gave everything they needed to go home with joy in their hearts. Now here's the application. I wonder, are you from a family that's been torn apart? Are you from a family where it seems like death has set in? And the funeral procession is in progress. You're marching to the cemetery. Families, whether it be marriage, whether it be with children, whether it be a wayward child or somebody. I mean, are you from a family that's being torn apart? And death seems like it's taken over. All I'm trying to get across here is that when God visits, he not only meets needs, but he also restores families. God will never break a family apart. God only puts them back together. In a crowd this size, no doubt, there are many, more than likely, many, that right now the Holy Spirit of God says he's talking to you. Not he, I'm talking to you. Because maybe somebody's thought or swallowed the lie. It's beyond repair. It's beyond hope. There's no answer. It's over with. Let's just forget it. Let's go on. I mean, we're done with. Not when God's in the equation. Because when God visits, things happen. And if God can raise the dead, he can help your family. Amen. Amen. You say, "You don't understand." I don't have to. He does. "You don't understand how bad it is." I don't have to. He's bigger. Makes no difference what it is. God can bring restoration to torn apart families. Aren't you glad of that today? Amen. Amen. In a midst of a time of family destruction, we need God to visit. That's what we need. That's what we need. Some of you, your hearts are broken right now because you're thinking of a wayward child or a wayward grandchild. Oh, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Oh, why don't he just get his act together? Why didn't he just see it? Let me ask you a question. How long have you spent on your knees begging God to visit them? Here's the thing. You may not know where they're at night, but God does. You may not know what they're doing, but God does. And God can visit them and change them and put your family back together. He meets needs. He restores families. Number three, he settles doubts. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Look at verse number 19. And John, this is John the Baptist, okay? And John the Baptist, calling unto him two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus, saying, "Art thou he that should come, or look we for another?"
When the men were coming to him, they said, John Baptist hath sent us unto thee, saying, Art thou he that should come, or look we for another? In that same hour he cured many of their infirmities and plagues and of evil spirits, and unto many that were blind he gave sight. Then Jesus answering said unto them, Go your way and tell John what things you've seen and heard, how the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel's preached. Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Let me paraphrase what's happening here. This is John the Baptist. John the Baptist is one of my heroes. He died early. He was younger than me when he went out into eternity. But what a man of God he was. John the Baptist loved the Lord very much. John the Baptist had faith in Jesus Christ, because right here he's saying, go to him and ask him, are you really him? Is this really you? Or do we need to look for somebody else? You know the powerful thought about that question? You ever read where John the Baptist said this? The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Remember that? Remember John said that? Yes? He's already said it when you come to Luke chapter 7. He's already made that statement. There he is! There's the Lamb of God. That's the Messiah. That's God in flesh. There he is. But today, he's questioning. Could it be that because in Matthew chapter 11, verse 2, right here at this time, John is sitting in a prison? He's not out preaching. He's preaching to us here, but he's not out preaching to audiences. He's not out in the wide open plains calling for people to come to Jesus. No, he's been arrested. He's awaiting death. His head will be severed from his body, and he's sitting in a prison cell. Glory, this is ministering to my heart. Things aren't going well for him. And even though he already knows who Jesus is, he knows that's Jesus. He knows it's God. But his world's turned upside down. Things aren't going well. And he begins to question, is this really God? Let me ask you a question. You ever been there? If you've never doubted, I want to meet you. I want to hug you. I want you to sign my Bible. I want to be a Christian like you. Don't you tell me you've never doubted the truth. But for a child of God, you know in your heart it's real, don't you? You know Jesus is real. You know heaven's real. You know you're going to see God. But you let trouble hit, and all of a sudden the question marks start coming. Is this really real? Have I been giving my life to a sham? Is heaven real? Is Jesus real? You already know in your heart that's the Lamb of God. Amen or not this morning. You already know the truth. But when trouble hits, it starts causing the doubts. It starts causing the questions to come. John the Baptist said, please go ask him again. Are you really him? Are you really God? See those servants coming and telling, are you him? John is questioning. He's doubting, Lord. He needs to know again. Would you just settle him? And here's what Jesus did. He cured blinded eyes. He made the lame to walk. These are all signs in the Old Testament of the coming Messiah, you see. And Jesus said, go and tell him what you've seen and heard. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, and the dead are raised. To the poor the gospel's preached. Here's what he's saying. Go tell him what you just saw me do. Go tell him that you just saw me cure blinded eyes, raise the dead, preach the gospel to the poor. Because when John hears that, he knows enough of the Old Testament to say, that's him! Only God could do that. You know what God does when he visits his people? He meets needs. He restores families. He settles doubts. You ever had a doubt that God settled for you? You start questioning and all these kind of things, and then all of a sudden God visits you in your devotions or through a sermon, and he just whispers to you, I'm here. That's what he does when he visits. He settles doubts. Fourth and finally, number one, he meets needs when he visits. Do you have one? You need God to visit. He restores families. Is your family broken apart? You need God to visit. He settles doubts. You have a question? The devil will try to put a question mark in your mind. God is in the habit of taking that question mark, grabbing it at the bottom, stretching it all the way down, and making an exclamation point with it. Only when he visits. But number four, when God visits, he saves sinners. You see this in verse number 36. Notice this now. Beautiful, beautiful portion of Scripture. One of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping and began to wash his feet with tears and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman that is that toucheth him, for she's a sinner. In other words, they know she's wicked. They know she's ungodly. Now she's touching the feet of the Lord. She's weeping on his feet and using the tears from her eyes to wash his dirty feet and taking her hair and rubbing his feet. Simon said in his own heart, just in his heart, he didn't say it out loud, just in his heart, if this man were really a prophet, he would know what manner of woman that is. May I say this to you? Let's pause just a minute. If this church never has anybody come to visit it that makes us a little uncomfortable, this church is not doing our job. If anybody ever comes into this church and they are mistreated because of the way they look or the way they present themselves, God help Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Every person on planet Earth, it doesn't matter how tall, how small, what color skin, what lifestyle they have, they ought to feel a welcome open door at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church because they would feel a welcome open door with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you're doing a fine job with that. I'm just showing you that's right, that's proper. Let's always be a church like that. Verse 40. Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. By the way, the Lord knew how to put people in their place. He did. And he said, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed him 500 pence, the other 50. When they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Boy, he just knew how to deal with people, didn't he? You know? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. He turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet. But she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss. But this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven. Look here, please. Only God can say that. I couldn't say that about her. You couldn't say that about her. But God could. It says right here, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. Verse 48. He said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? I'll tell you who it is. It's Jesus. It's God. It's God who visited his people. That's who it is. And he said unto the woman, thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. Jesus in the Pharisee's house. A woman who's a sinner comes and begins to wash his feet with tears and dry them with her hair. And at the end of the story, he said, thy sins are forgiven. You know what the word forgiven means? It means omitted, sent away. They're erased. That's what it means. They're sent away. That's what it means. When God visited here, this sinner was forgiven. He forgives sinners. I'm not much, but I am forgiven. And that's only possible because God visited me many years ago. Because when He visits, He forgives sins. Many years ago, there was a father and his daughter who were walking through the grass on the Canadian prairie. In the distance, they saw a prairie fire coming towards them, and they realized they couldn't outrun it, that they were trapped in that prairie, and if they just tried to outrun it, it would soon engulf them. The father knew there was only one way to escape. They would quickly begin a fire right where they were and burn a large patch of grass all the way down. And when the huge fire drew near, they would stand on the section that had already been burned. And when the flames came close to them, the girl, the daughter, was terrified, obviously. But her father assured her, and I quote, he said this, "The flames can't get to us. We are standing where the fire has already been." You know, in the same way, the Bible teaches that when the Lord Jesus Christ died on Calvary, that the wrath of God the Father was poured out on God the Son. His wrath was poured out on Him. He did that in my place and your place. He died, He was buried, He rose again, and then when you trust Christ as your Savior, He draws you to Himself, He convicts you of your sin, and you make the decision to turn to Jesus Christ and accept Him as your Lord and Savior. When that happens, the Bible language says He puts you in Christ. You are now in Jesus Christ. You're part of His body. You are in Christ. Get this. The fire of God's wrath has already fallen on Jesus Christ. It will never fall on Him again. Which means if you are now in Christ, the fire of God's wrath and judgment will never engulf you, because it's engulfed the Lord Jesus Christ. And now you are in Him. When God visits, sins are forgiven. I wonder, are you forgiven? Or are you trying to get to heaven some other way? You know, it frees me like a bird to say, this church can't save you. We can't. I can't save you. You can't save you. Jesus can. And only Jesus. And if you trust Christ, then that wrath will never get to you because it was poured out on Him. If you refuse to trust Christ and try to come any other way, the wrath of God abides on you and you will suffer His wrath for all eternity. There's no middle ground. Now I'm about done. You've lived with me long enough that you don't know to believe me when I say that or not, right? I'm about done. In this text, we've seen four things that happen when God visits. The phrase is, God hath visited His people. Why would they say that? Because He met a need. Because He restored a family. Because He settled a doubt. Because He forgave a sinner. And these same four things is what we need today. Now verse 16, look at it. Why does God visit? There came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying. Let me tell you why God chooses to visit. It's not necessarily to meet your needs or restore your family or settle your doubt or forgive your sin. That's what He does when He comes. He's interested in all of that. But the reason He visits your family and visits you is because He wants glory. And if anybody else tries to take that glory from Him, it's keeping Him away. Friends, is there somebody here today that has a need that needs to be met? Is there somebody listening right now that you have a family that needs to be restored? Is there somebody listening to me that you have a doubt that needs to be settled? Or is there a sinner listening to me right now that you need to be forgiven? I say to you that what God did in Luke chapter 7, He can still do today. And as I'm coming to a close, it doesn't mean you are, please listen very intently here. Everything we do in our life, we are either encouraging Him to visit or we're discouraging it. There's no middle ground. You cannot encourage Him with one hand and discourage Him with the other. It doesn't work that way. Are you encouraging a visit from God? You know what that means? That means if there's anything in our life that He puts His finger on and says, that must go, there's no more trying to justify it. There's no more trying to get out of it. It's this, I need God. It's gone. Amen this morning, friends. If there's something that needs to be put in your life because He says, you need to get that right there, you need to start that, like maybe reading your Bible daily or giving the gospel or being faithful to church, whatever it is, it works both ways. Your answer's no longer, well, let me think about it. No. You realize you need God. I've got to have God to have this happen. And you'll do anything you can to encourage Him to visit. There's Bible on this. James 4:8, draw nigh to God. And He'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Is my life encouraging God to visit or discouraging it? I think it's time that we all get serious about that question. And may God help us as individuals, as husbands, as fathers, as moms, as wives, as grandparents, as church members, as visitors, as guests. Just apply it to wherever you're at. God help us to see we need Him to visit. Because when He does, great things happen. And I want to see the great things, don't you? You want to see the things that only God can do? Do you? I do. You know where it starts? Right here. With me. And may God help. Let's bow for a word of prayer, shall we? Father, bless this, I pray. Challenge our hearts. Help us to see our need. And Lord, I pray this morning that You will work and You will move in a mighty, mighty, mighty way. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. You've listened so well today. Thank You. Maybe today, as we're preparing for the invitation, you'd say, Jody, I'm glad that I am a child of God. I'm glad I'm born again. I'm glad I know the Lord Jesus as my Savior. There's been a time in my life where I realized I was lost on my way to hell, and Jesus came to me and saved my soul. He has saved me. I don't hope I'm going to heaven. I know I'm going to heaven. I'm trusting Christ and Christ alone. No church, not my works, nothing. Have you know you're born again? Would you raise your hand in the air with mine? God bless you. Thank you. Isn't it good to be able to raise your hand to that? You can put your hand right back down. God bless you. As she begins to play through softly, is there one today say, Jody, I need to be saved. I need my sins forgiven. I need to be born again. We're not going to come to your seat. We're not going to embarrass you. I wouldn't do that for anything in the world. But if you say, Jody, pray for me. I'm tired of playing games. I need to be born again. Is there anybody like that? Balcony below, anybody, would you raise your hand? Say, I need to be saved. Anybody like that at all? You say, pray for me. I need to be saved. Now, with your heads bowed and eyes closed, how many of you say, Jody, I'm a Christian, I'm saved, but there's a need in my life. Now, we're not asking you to get specific about it. It's not our business. It's not our business. It's none of our business. But how many of you say, Jody, there's a need in my life? It could be a family need. It could be a financial need. It could be a spiritual need, a mental need. It could be a need for a job or whatever. You have some kind of a need right now that you can say, my need is that. And God is speaking to you about this. Would you be honest? Would you raise your hand in the air with mine? Yes. God bless you. God bless you. You can put your hand right back down. How many of you have a family? Now, I'm not talking about getting specific here, but you say, Jody, there's a family situation going on, and it could be extended family. It might be a grandparent. It might be a cousin that you're thinking of right now. It might be a child, a wayward child, a wayward grandchild. Have you all feel that the devil has attacked your home and that the devil's trying to tear your family apart? Have you are dealing with something like that? Would you raise your hand in the air with mine? Well, that's a lot of hands, a lot of hands. God bless you. Thank you for being honest. Have you have a doubt in your mind? Be honest. You say, Jody, I walked into this church today, and when you talked about John the Baptist questioning, boy, God spoke to my heart. That's what I need. I need God to settle my doubts. Have you be honest with that? Would you raise your hand? Be an honest person about it. Yes, God bless you. I would raise my hand with you at different parts of my life as well there. Now, if you raise your hand to anything, the message today is God's the only one that can help you. And one of the greatest things you can do is start encouraging Him to visit. That means removing things that should not be there. That means beginning things that should be a part of your life. Why don't you come and ask God to visit with you? Visit with us, dear God. We need you. I have a need. I have a family that needs to be restored. I have a question that needs to be settled. Father, take it, use it. Bless it, I pray. In Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Let's all stand together, please. Brother Gary's going to sing, come. Some have already responded. You come now. Would you do it? Would you do it? You have a family that needs to be restored, a question that needs to be answered, a doubt that needs to be settled, a need that needs to be met, a family that needs to be put back together. As Brother Gary sings, don't wait on anybody else. You come now. Would you do it? Come right now. Would you do it?
I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord.
Come on, come talk to God about it. Don't be ashamed of it. Just come talk to the Lord. Say, God, I need you to visit with me. Here's what I need. Here's what I need. Here's what I need. Here's what I need. Sing on, Brother Gary. Let's give the Lord an opportunity to respond.
I need thee every hour.
Visit with people.
Stay thou nearby.
May the Lord help. May the Lord guide.
When thou art nigh. I need thee, oh, I need thee.
Every hour I need thee, oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee.
Let's sing one more verse. Nobody else comes, we'll be done.
I need thee.
Asking God to give us help here, give us guidance here, help us here. Beg God to help you.
Life is vain. I need thee every living. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee.
Let's sing another verse, Brother Gary. God is working. Let's give folks a little time here, okay?
I need thee every hour.
Sing it if you know it.
Most gracious.
Playing through, you can look this way. Let me give you a few instructions here. If you're a guest and you filled out one of those cards, I hope you did. If you'll take it through the lobby, drop it off to Welcome Center, we've got a free gift for you just to say thank you. Let me go ahead and dismiss all teachers, first through sixth grade, to go back to your departments. And let's let them get out here. If you have children in the building on the premises, if they are preschool, that's 5, 4 and below, okay? Anything below first grade, they will be in their departments where you drop them off today, okay? So you'll pick them up first. If you have children first through sixth grade, you can look in the bulletin. That's where the treasure hunt's going to be taking place. There's three different locations, and you can pick your children up there, okay? If you need help, don't try to figure it out, okay? If you need help, you just grab somebody. Can you help me find this? They'll be happy to do it. If you happen to find another visitor that says, I don't know where I'm at either, then you all just keep looking for somebody, okay? And we'll help you. Thank you for being here. God bless you. Let me go ahead and dismiss all parents for any child sixth grade and below. I'm going to go ahead and dismiss you now again. If you have preschool children, please go to their department to pick them up and then go to the location for the other children first through sixth grade. And thank you for being here today. All right, Brother Barney Bearser, if you wouldn't mind to dismiss us in prayer, please.